Welcome to Highly Questionable. We're very excited on this Monday, a football Monday, to have a total football expert with us and also former football player Dominique Foxworth. Let's get started.
You didn't mean any of that. I know you didn't.
Do you view Lamar Jackson and the Ravens differently after losing to the Titans?
Interesting game, obviously. The most interesting one of the weekend, given that none of us saw that coming that way, that offense stifled that way. And a whole lot of people today are taking a little too gleeful of a victory lap at the failure of Lamar Jackson because the expectations were raised to an MVP level. And this is the part that's hard, right? Because even though it was a weird game, even though the Titans only had a couple of drives of over 35 yards, even though the Ravens failed in situations they never fail in on fourth and short, when an offense that has that kind of credentials on its resume does that for 12 points in the postseason, it is hard to look other places other than the quarterback. You haven't seen since 1970 an offense this good fail that badly. And when you do it in a big spot and surprise all of us, a lot of that's going to fall on the head of the quarterback.
Yeah, Lamar's come to mean so much to so many people through no effort of his own. So it makes it hard to give an accurate assessment of his play because some people that you don't want to might cling on to that and pretend as if you're saying that he's not going to be a success. I was encouraged, frankly, with some of the things I saw in the game. Obviously, losing to a sixth seed is unacceptable, and he made a lot of mistakes, but it wasn't as if he could not throw the ball. They were daring him to throw the ball at times, and then they would drop back into max coverages, and he was still converting third and 16s, third and 12s, third and 6s, third and 10s. Those are plays that he converted, and those things he did through the air. So I was impressed with that, but losing, you have to kind of come down on a quarterback a bit. But I'm still kind of all in all positive about Lamar. He's not a playoff choker, and he's been successful MVP.
You're being soft on him.
I am soft.
I mean, listen, I don't want to rip on Lamar Jackson. I don't want to rip on the Ravens, but when a number one seed with an MVP quarterback scores 12 points in a game like this against a six-seed Titans team that started the season 2-4, you do have to point some fingers. Now, Lamar Jackson still accounted for over 500 yards of total offense. The Titans were outgained by 230 yards of offense on the game. So you're looking at this and trying to figure out what went wrong. Well, the Titans executed perfectly when they needed to. They kept Lamar Jackson running horizontally instead of gaining vertically down the field. They made him win with the pass, which teams tried to do all season long, but couldn't do well enough. They did it well this time. They put enough men in the box to challenge him and force him to use his legs, but they also shut down those options down the field. He didn't have the safety valves that he's used to in those instances. Before the postseason started, we said there was no way that the Titans would be able to keep up the incredible red zone conversion percentage that they had in the regular season, which was nearly 70%. And guess what? It's now 100% in the postseason. Yeah. They haven't kicked
all
a field goal
down,
since
too.
Week 13. So when they are able to convert when it matters most and stop when it matters most, that's how you get a game like that.
I think a fair criticism of Lamar, though, is we haven't seen him come back from behind. When they're down in the first quarter, they're pretty much out of it. I think that I saw the ability to potentially do it, but he still hasn't done it. So that's the fairest criticism I'm going to give to Lamar, and I'm not going to look around and look at my company because it's going to make me sad.
And, I mean, we got to give credit to Mike Vrabel because one of the things that I worried about most with this Titans team was that they hadn't seen the Ravens in the regular season, that they wouldn't know how to combat Lamar Jackson. But they took some tips from how the Bills faced him. They put in some of their own twists and turns. And Vrabel schemed this game to perfection in ways that you would not have anticipated going in, including getting stops on things like fourth and short, which the Ravens were 8-8 on in the regular season.
The two of you, he's soft on Lamar Jackson, and you're out here crediting Mike Vrabel before any of us have mentioned that Derrick Henry, he stiff-armed him, and then he pushed him in the back, and a defensive tackle for the Ravens is saying after the game, I've never been in a situation before where I feel like I don't have a chance. That guy stomped all over the Ravens, and you've got a quarterback now advancing to one game from the Miami Super Bowl after throwing 70 yards in both of these plays. Playoff games. Mahomes did that in 4 minutes yesterday.
Is Major League Baseball coming down too hard on the Astros?
okay, you do not see penalties like this come down. Short of taking away someone's team, franchises, organizations do not get punished the way the Astros are being punished for what I imagine is a bit of a lifetime body of work on cheating, given that this isn't the first time that they found themselves in this situation. So you got the general manager gone, the manager gone, the $5 million penalty maximum allowed, and a loss of a lot of high draft picks. And what I would say to you guys is, this is a league trying to make a statement about we will not allow this. And the last time I saw something like this, it was the overreaction of Bountygate, when something that we all knew to be common throughout the sport was punished so severely that the entire employee base turned on a commissioner who was interested in overpunishing, because everyone loves overpunishing. This is good for Manfred and very few others.
To me, this is an interesting one, because you have to figure out how high the incentives are for victory, which is very high for the Astros. The amount of money that came in, the amount of prestige that comes in, what it means for them going forward. I mean, it is a very severe punishment, but that's the kind of punishment you need in order to deter future teams from doing this. And Dan, you could say that this is just everybody's sign steals, but when it becomes technology, when it becomes using things that are very clearly banned, and it's not just trying to get an edge by being able to see those signs, I think they do need to nip it in the bud with a very severe penalty, which this is.
Yeah, I'm not a baseball insider, but from all the things I've read, it suggests that this is unique, and they did go across a line that most baseball players and most baseball teams seem to say that they would not. However, if this punishment is supposed to act as a deterrent, I'm not sure that it does. I guarantee you, every team that is watching this would gladly turn over $5 million and a couple years worth of first and second round draft picks to get a World Series trophy. So I'm not sure that the punishment is a deterrent as much as it is the public shame.
Did the Seahawks get hosed by a bad spot?
I am of the belief that the ability to win one-score games is not actually an ability, that sometimes you're going to lose the one-score games because of the way the ball bounces. However, if I were to subscribe to that, the place that I would do it is Russell Wilson is going to be throwing into my end zone at the end of the game. And they absolutely got hosed here, because in this microscopic game where we're still measuring old guys with chains, we have – that's a terrible spot. And – that was not a first down, and then they go to review, and with all our cameras there, they can't conclude something differently. But these games are so close, guys, that I feel like we can do this almost every one of them, where we're looking at anything and we're saying a yard is the difference between this team and that team.
You're right. It's a terrible spot. It's a terrible spot that the television crew put the first down fake marker on, because it didn't actually line up with the first down marker on the field, which is why I think they originally marked him where he was and said it was first down, and then looked at a number of replays, including additional footage. I don't know what that means. Maybe the Patriots brought some cameras on the sidelines and offered it up at the end there. Either way, to me, this felt like we made the call and there was no way to overturn it based on all the angles that we had, based on the way those guys landed. I don't think they got hosed at all. I think if you look at it, where the marker was, it looks like he got the spot.
Maybe, but I don't think, I mean, one play is not going to get me to say that you got hosed in any one game. Like, you could go through the course of that game and say they got away with a fumble earlier that the Seahawks got that they should have lost. So that's not going to do it. It has to be much more egregious, like last year's pass interference in the Saints game against the Rams. Like, it has to be egregious like that. A one-inch mishap is not going to make me say you got hosed. You know how you got hosed? You couldn't stop the Davante Adams. That's what got you hosed. That was the issue, not that one inch. And I doubt that any Seahawks players would say that that's the reason why they lost the game.
You know how you got hosed? You kept using your running game instead of letting your all-world quarterback try to get it out there. Try to air it out a little bit and see what he can do, instead of continuing to go to running backs that were recently dishing out shots in a parking lot in a Raiders game.
Dominic, you don't know how to do this. It is not when the fumble that's not a fumble in the first quarter happens.
Right.
It's what happened at the end of the game that we talked about. I didn't even remember that play until you just reminded me. Oh, yeah, there was another blown one in that one.
Yeah, I'm still learning, Dan. I'm still learning. I don't know how to do this.
I find it convenient, too, by the way, Dominique, that my beloved Aaron Rodgers has that game after you spent last week telling me how much better Russell Wilson has been over the last three seasons than Aaron Rodgers. And you were right, but you weren't right yesterday. You were not right yesterday. He was. No, no. Did you see the manna from heaven? He's got one receiver out there. He's got that pink number 16 Kumaro, way too pink. He's throwing to that Sternberger guy. Get out of here.
I'm not sure. I thought that Aaron played well, and I said that he would win and play well. However, you're going a bit on a limb by saying that he played better than Russell Wilson. Just because this team won doesn't mean he played better. I think he had more support than Russell did, we're being honest.
No. DK Metcalf is more support than Russell. No, that's more support over there. He's throwing to
defense.
16. Number
defense.
16. Who's number 16? Pink number 16 for the Packers. Who is he?
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I think also it's important to take care of your mentals. That's very important. Mm-hmm. You can't be slamming your mentals into other mentals and expecting to live a fruitful life afterwards.
Did Bill O'Brien choke, or were the Chiefs just the better team?
Okay, so before this game, one of the great sports conversations of all time took place, caught by TMZ, Bill O'Brien in the tunnel. Somebody yelled at him, "You suck," and his response was, "You suck too, mother bleeper." And that's a great condensed sports conversation. And you need to notice that Bill O'Brien in that acknowledges that he indeed sucks when he says, "You suck too, mother bleeper." And he was pretty bad in this game, being a little passive in spots he shouldn't have been passive in against that offense. But when the Kansas City Chiefs run out of fireworks because they don't have any more in the stadium to celebrate touchdowns because you can score four of them in 12 football minutes, it's because Kansas City is really good at offense.
Yeah, I've been really hard on Bill O'Brien in the past, but I really feel like I can't blame this game on him. I think that fourth down decision to not go for it and to kick the field goal, that was a mistake. But I don't think going for it on the punt was a mistake. I thought that was a good play to kind of keep the ball away from the Chiefs' hands. It's not as if you punt it that they're going to take any longer to score. They're just going to go for a 60-yard touchdown rather than a 40-yard touchdown. So I don't have any problem with that decision, and I thought he made some pretty wise decisions early on, particularly that fake screen pass on 3rd-and-1 when you know that the defense is going to be aggressive. So he did the things that you would expect him to do on offense, but that defense could not stop them, but I'm not sure there is a defense that can stop them. So I'm going to have to give Bill O'Brien a pass this week.
Yeah, in the battle of two teams and coaches that have playoff horrors on their side, it was tough to tell which of these teams was going to shoot themselves in the foot. And when you're a playoff team and you give up 44 straight points to another playoff team, you're not going to be let off the hook entirely for that. That being said, the Texans weren't really beating the Chiefs early on in this game. The Chiefs were beating themselves. And as soon as that flipped and the Chiefs started playing up to their ability, the Texans start beating themselves with some bad play and some sloppiness. Then it became sort of an all even. And after that, the better team won. And the better team was the Chiefs going in. You can act like this was a choke by the Texans, but I think it was the Chiefs choking early and then getting their stuff together. And then it was about even, and the Chiefs pulled ahead because they're a more well-rounded team. They've got the defense that they needed to work with last year, and they still have an offense that no one can keep up with.
I mean, Mecole Hardman was the one who performed the Heimlich maneuver on the Chiefs offense early on. It's just too many to stop. Like, please, seriously, let's be serious. How do you stop?
Are we going to bypass that Sarah accused the Chiefs of being the chokers in the first quarter? So they even
I'm sorry. You can give up 24 points in a first quarter and not have it be a joke.
No, but if you win by 20, they unchoked the last three quarters?
Yes. It was choking by quarters. They choked in the first. Texans choke in the second. And then in the second half, it was a battle of two teams giving their best, and the Chiefs are better.
I like it. I like this as analysis from now here on out. It's like, who choked this quarter away? The next team unchokes it, and then you win.
Texans did it last week. Choked in the first half, figured it out in the second half. We've seen it before.
Do you see NFL players heeding Marshawn Lynch's advice?
Okay, forgive me, guys. This may be my age showing. I don't know. Maybe my culture showing. Had any of you heard money referred to as chicken before this next clip? No? Let's listen to Marshawn Lynch here.
I say take care of y'all money, African, because that don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the you want to. So I tell y'all right now while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken. You feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals. Because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away. And you'll be able to do what you want to do.
Okay, so the question is, do you see NFL players heeding Marshawn Lynch's advice? And I don't think they want that question answered. I think they just wanted to play that clip so we could be arguing here about which is the better sentence, to sell someone to take care of their chicken or just to refer to the white guys in the Seahawks locker room as African?
I don't think that he was giving advice to the Europeans. It was strictly advice for Africans. And I think also it's important to take care of your mentals. That's very important. Mm-hmm. You can't be slamming your mentals into other mentals and expecting to live a fruitful life afterwards. So Marshawn is the king of running through an MF's face, but at the same time, take care of your mentals. Africans?
Listen, I'm going to answer the actual question because I think it's legitimate. And I, of course, am not a former player. I'm sure Dominique has a different perspective. But I think when you get a guy whose usual response is, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here because I have to be. I'm not going to say anything. And he gives you a statement that's meaningful to him, coming from the other side of retirement, coming back in. And he says, I've been out there, guys. Be prepared with your body and your mentals and your chicken. And I think there's guys who might internalize that because of the source.
Sarah, I'm sorry, but the answer is no. I was a president of the Players Association, and we tried to prepare players many times for lockouts and work stoppages. And the fact of the matter is, some guys are guys who spend a lot of money. And one speech from Marshawn Lynch or from me or from Dan or from their mom or from their cousin or anybody else is not going to change their perspective. Some guys take care of the money. Some guys don't. That's what it comes down to. And Marshawn saying something about chickens and sahas and Africans is not going to change their mind.